The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending February 23rd like this. Well, actually, the week ending February 15th. The numbers are wheat, 16.6 million bushels, corn, 33.1 million, and soybeans, 24.8 million bushels. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers in just a few minutes with the folks from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. Slaughter hog prices today are predicted to be mostly steady in the western Corn Belt, but mixed views are seen in the eastern half of the region. Terminals are called steady to weak in a very light volume test today. Top prices from $42.50 to $44.50. Peoria is called 50 cents lower today with a top price of $42.50. In the eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, February 22nd, negotiated swine purchases were $13,356 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $54 to $66.50. The weighted average, $62.55, a gain of 70 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.61 to $55.40, and the weighted average was $49.44. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $8,273. The base price range, $54 to $67.25. The weighted average was $63.42, a loss of 32 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $45 to $50.89, and the weighted average was $48.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. 2 days ago, it looked like a little Alberta Clipper would be coming through the Midwest, and there could be some snow. And then yesterday, high pressure was right over the Beef House at midday on the maps. Now today, neither. We don't have the Alberta Clipper, nor do we have high pressure sitting right over the Beef House. In fact, that high pressure system on the forecast map for noon central time on Tuesday is over eastern Nebraska. That's a switch of several states. And the indications are that there might be a little bit of light snow in the area on Tuesday. There's no well-organized system. It looks like an upper air system. It does look cold. We'll be lucky to get above freezing by too much on Tuesday. We'll probably have a high temperature in the middle 30s and probably okay getting there, but we'll have to watch things closely. But there's no big storm coming through Tuesday, so that's the good news. Of course, we'll have a lot of precipitation over the weekend, and that's really the concern. I think those of you that are in flood-prone areas really need to watch out because the ground is frozen. There's still a lot of snow in some areas, including the piles of snow in parking lots and along roadways, and that will continue to melt as heavy rain falls on top of that. And that's going to fill up the river basins. I'm sure the White River and Wabash River in Indiana will be up above flood stage in spots before all is said and done, and some of the other rivers around the two-state area as well. And we also have some concerns about wintry weather, especially in the northern third of the two states. A winter storm watch has been posted for northern Illinois and far northwestern Indiana, basically along and north of I-80. For Saturday morning through Sunday evening. So that's a long period of time. And for a shorter period of time, there's a winter storm watch out for the rest of northern Indiana, and that is in effect Saturday evening into Sunday morning. And basically, it's hard to say exactly what's going to happen because we have a storm not even on the map yet that's going to become an intense storm by all indications. And all the models have been indicating this for a few days, so I don't think there's any question on that. But there is a question on the exact track it's going to take. A couple days ago, the low was supposed to be centered over the Quad Cities at 6 a.m. on Sunday. And now the forecast is for the low to be closer to Quincy at 6 a.m. Sunday. That's not a big difference, but it's a little bit farther south. And that means the wintry weather that was anticipated for portions of Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Dakotas is still going to happen. But it may also now affect more of Nebraska, Iowa, and even northern portions of Illinois and eventually Indiana. It takes a little farther south track. That also means that the severe weather threat will be pushed to the south, but it does look like some big storms will move through the Mississippi Delta tomorrow. That will bring them some significant rain, and then the southeast will get some rain as we go into Monday. So most of the soybean and corn growing areas are going to get a lot of moisture to help charge the soils up before the upcoming season. And out in the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt, there's going to be some thunderstorms today that may produce tornadoes, large hail, and damaging winds. And on the backside of that, strong northerly winds with some snow in Nebraska and maybe northern Kansas by the time we get later into the weekend. Briefly going to South America, I'll just tell you that some rain fell in portions of Brazil during the last 24 hours, and some of it was heavier than anticipated in Mato Grosso. So those areas are very wet again, the western portions of the northern bean belt of Brazil. Some rain also in Rio Grande do Sul, and that's beneficial. That's in southern Brazil. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Be sure to join us next Tuesday at the All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And as you just heard from Ed, maybe there won't be that much snow on the ground as you come on over. The meeting gets underway with registration at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 a.m. Central. First panel is at 9 o'clock Eastern, and that would be 8 o'clock Central. And we'll have panels on soybeans and cash grain, food, fuel, and feed, ethanol in the marketplace, agricultural weather, crop corn, and as well as crop insurance. So come on over next Tuesday, an all-day agricultural outlook meeting. There's no advanced registration required. The meeting is free. If you want to eat at the Beef House, it's $8.75 for lunch. In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 510.5, down one. Last trade down 3.5. March wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 490, up a half. Last trade down 4. March corn opened at 433, down 1.5. Last trade down 2. July, 455, down 2. Last trade down 2. December, 427, down 3/4. Last trade down 3.25. March beans opened at 782, down 1.75. Last trade down 1.5. November, 836.25, down 1.5. Last trade down 2. March soybean meal opened at 231.20, down 20. Last trade down 50. And March soybean oil opened at 30.27, down 5. Last trade down 11. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave.
Got to ask you, how much more buying power do you think the funds have after the week they put in this week? Pretty impressive, about 30,000 net, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Since last Friday, the Friday before the long weekend, they came in and bought 10,000 that day. Close to 30,000 net over the last 4 days of trading. And I don't know if there's an answer to that question, Dave. They're net long 360,000 contracts of corn. They're a net long 106,000 contracts of soybeans, and the power just seems to be limitless right now. The dollars invested into this thing is just phenomenal and keeps growing. And to get an indication of how much, we just don't know. I mean, we know that corn's traded over $5 here in the last 10 to 12 years, and the market may decide that they want to try to go test that. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Technically, you're reading the stories this morning, and everybody says the markets are overbought. We're due for a little bit of correction, but you could have been reading that same story for the last 2 or 3 days.
You could, and I suppose those that are even bullish would like to see somewhat of a correction. Maybe a dime or so would probably be healthy for the market if you're a bull.
you're right. It would definitely be healthy, but you know the power of these funds is so tremendous, and now they've got, you know, there's obviously people that have been short this market again in that $3.80 to $4 area, kind of thinking the market had maybe seen a top near four, and now they've got them hung. You know, and so again, guys are faced with the dilemma: do I want to keep feeding my margin call, or do I want to get out? And I think you're seeing some liquidating orders also because of this nervousness. So the power of this thing is just unbelievable. But the beans do have some catching up to do, Dave. I mean, again, everybody's talking about the ratio between the two and what are guys going to plant corn or beans. You know, yesterday, Dees corn was up 5, and November beans were only up 5 or 6. Again, the bean market does have more work to do if it wants to try to keep a lot of bean acres from going over to corn.
Looking a little tired, actually, the beans.
They are. Yesterday, finishing 7 or 8 cents off their high. And, you know, when you're looking at a 600 million carryover in the United States and world carryover at record levels and South American crop that looks to be pretty decent, they're filling pods and you're not hearing a lot of complaints, the fundamental picture doesn't support 8 to 850 beans other than the fact that they're afraid of losing acres. And this is the same statement everybody's been hearing for months. But, you know, I think if once we get the planters rolling in the fields, if we don't run into any major problems, you know, we may see the tiredness of these markets start to really come to the front.
Thank you much, Ed.
You bet, Dave. Thanks.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing. You're listening to WILO Urbana. We join the BBC in progress.